So last week we read how the Plishtim, the Philistines, stole the Ark from the Jews. And do you recall what they thought the Ark was?
No, they thought it was their lucky charm.
They thought it was the God of the Jews or something like that.
Yeah.
Right? And then, of course, Eli died, and Eli's daughter-in-law died, and his two sons died. They all died in war. And the Ark had been stolen by the Plishtim. And we were critical of the fact that the Ark was so much more important, both to Eli and to Eli's daughter-in-law, than the loss of people. And we were critical of that fact. What happens to the Ark once the Philistines take hold of it? That's what this chapter is about. The next two chapters go together. The next two chapters are all about the Ark and the Philistines and what they do. So we're going to do the first chapter today, and then please God, next week we'll do the other chapter.
Okay. And the Ark, is that the Ark the one that holds the Torahs?
Not the Torahs. In those days it was, there was a Torah in it, but in those days it was the, that was the Holy of Holies. It held the original tablets.
Okay.
Original tablets. Okay. Eventually this Ark would be placed in the temple, but the temple has not yet been built. Okay. Chapter 5. Uflishtim lakhu et Aron ha'elokim, when the Philistines captured the Ark of God, ve'aviehu me'even ha'ezer ashdoda, they brought it from Evan ha'ezer to Ashdod. These are all cities in Israel. Ashdod is a city currently in Israel. Vayikhu plishtim et Aron ha'elokim, ve'yaviu oto beit Dagon. And then the Philistines, they took it from Ashdod to the house of Dagon, the temple of Dagon. Vayatzigu oto etzel Dagon. They set it up beside Dagon. Dagon sounds like it comes from the word dag, fish, and so Rashi comments that it's the god of fish. It's a fish-shaped god that the Philistines had. Others have suggested that it's from Dagon. Dagon meaning wheat, that he's the god of wheat. But the commentaries note that perhaps the Philistines thought that it was that their god had conquered the god of the Jews, right? Because they won this war. They got the Ark. They got the spoils. And so, and when they take the Ark from the Israelites, then it really is the same as taking the spoils of war. These are the spoils of war. And we know that's what we do. We take this when you have a war, you take the spoils of war. That's part of a war. Okay. And they place it beside Dagon. Vayatzigu oto etzel Dagon. What do you imagine? Let's not read on for a moment. What do you imagine the Philistines will think is going to happen? They have this god, which is shaped like a fish, or maybe it's the god of wheat, but it's an idol. And they think that the Ark is also an idol. They don't understand abstract monotheism the way we do, and the way we would hope the Jews do. The way certainly Shmuel understood it, but the other people at his time didn't really understand it either. But what do you think they think is going to happen with the Ark and Dagon?
Maybe everything is theirs.
Well, either they think everything is theirs.
Battle each other or something.
Maybe they'll battle each other. Maybe they think nothing will happen. You know, they'll just be there.
Like Terach's guys, you know.
Exactly, like Terach's idols.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's exactly what happens. Vayashkimu ashdodim mimachorat. And the next day, they got up in the morning. Vehine Dagon nofel lefanav artza. Lifnei Aron Hashem. And behold, Dagon fell on the ground before the Ark of God. I'll note that the word vehine and behold usually connotes a surprise. So they didn't know, you know, they assumed that the Ark of God would have fallen before Dagon. But vehine and behold, they get up and Dagon fell before the Ark of God. So what do you think they did? What should they do? What should they do? Dagon fell before the Ark of God.
Well, they could pick him back up.
that, right? Maybe they'll pick him back up. Maybe we hope that they, maybe it's symbolic that Dagon fell before the Ark of God, and maybe they should accept, realize that this is no regular god. This is not one of their, you know, play gods or whatever. Okay, so here's what they do. Vayikru et Dagon, vayashivu oto limkomo. They picked up Dagon, and then put him back in his place. Maybe they thought he just fell for no reason. The wind blew him away. So just in case, lest they were to think that, here's what happens. Vayashkimu vaboker mimacharat, and they got up the next day. Vehine Dagon nofel lefanav arza lifnei Aron Hashem. And behold, once again, their idol fell before the Ark of God. Second day in a row, same thing happened. But this time, it's even worse. Rosh Dagon ushtei kapot yadav krutot el hamiftan. His head and both of his hands were cut off, lying on the threshold. So this time, not only did the idol fall, but he fell and his head and arms were cut off. All of his power. That's right. If you know, in Hallel, we say, "Yedihem velo yemishun, oznehem velo yazinu." There, let's get the let's get a source.
That would fall off because we don't believe in idols,
right?
So that's the destruction of an idol.
Oh, somebody's here.
But they do, and they're looking at it.
They're
saying,
looking at
what is going on here.
It's right. Interesting that he talks about a fish. I always was told that fish and birds are lucky signs in the Jewish.
Here. Here it is. The idols. Our God, lo lanu Hashem lo lani. Here it is. Veloke kol ashech atzabehem kesef ezahav maaseh de'adam pelahem velo yudabeiru einayim lahem velo yiru hoznayim lahem velo yishma'u af lahem velo yirichun yedehem velo yimishun raglehem velo yihalechu lo yihagu begronam. Our God is in the heavens. Whatever he pleases, he does. Their idols are silver and gold, the handiwork of man. They have a mouth, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have a nose, but they cannot smell. Their hands, they cannot feel. Their feet, they cannot walk. They cannot utter a sound from their throat. Those who make them should become like them, whoever trusts in them. So, you notice, those are all the powers. But all of those things, the legs, the hands, the head, which has the eyes and the ears, all of that had been cut off from Dagon. Okay? All of that was cut off. So it's highly symbolic that those his limbs were cut off, right? It wasn't just that he fell and something happened. But his limbs were cut off. Rak Dagon nishar alav. Okay. Only Dagon's trunk was left intact. Only his base was left intact. Okay. What do you think the Philistines should do now? What do you think they should do? This god of theirs was destroyed overnight. They woke up in the morning and here he is lying before the Ark of God, our God, and his arms and legs and his arms and his head were cut off. What should they do?
Well, they could try putting the Aron next to another god and see if the same thing happens.
Maybe. So you say they should get the Aron out of there.
Yeah.
They should maybe. It's bad news.
Either that or test it out and see if this is.
No, but I guess they're getting an inkling that maybe Hashem is more powerful than their god.
So you would hope they would get that inkling, but not quite, not yet.
Not yet? Not,
they will, but not yet.
That's like an Avraham moment.
Right, before he saw God.
Yeah,
right. Faye was saying the same thing earlier before he came in.
There you go.
Yeah.
So now, say for Shmuel, just notes for us. Al kain lo yidrachu kohanei dagon v'chol haba'im beit dagon al miftan dagon ba'ashdod ad hayom hazeh. That is why, to this day, the priests of Dagon and all who enter the temple of Dagon don't walk, don't set foot on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod until this day. Meaning, at the time that Shmuel, Sefer Shmuel was written, there must have been this custom in the Philistine area that where the god of Dagon was, in Beit Dagon, in the house of Dagon, they wouldn't let you step on him. And this is the, what do you call it, the ideology, the explanation going backwards of why they have this custom. You know, we have a lot of customs that we tell. Why do we have this custom? So, you know, a lot of times those customs, sometimes our customs really come as a result of something. But sometimes we have, you know, nice explanations to customs that are really after the fact. Like, you know, why do we dairy on Shavuot? Who knows why we, I don't know why we dairy, because of this and because of that. There's a million different explanations why we dairy on Shavuot. I don't know why, because people like cheesecake, so we dairy on Shavuot. So...
there's no sense anymore of where that is in Ashdod, is there?
I don't think so.
Or in today's Ashdod.
Right. Az Yom Hazeh means until Shmuel's written, not until our day. Yeah. You know, why do we eat latkes on... why do we eat latkes on Hanukkah? You know why we eat latkes on Hanukkah?
Why?
Because in Poland, they had bulbous, they had potatoes. So they eat latkes every day. They eat latkes the whole year round. That's what they eat in Poland. They eat schmaltz and they have potatoes.
But they bake them, it's no fair, because it's supposed to be oily because of the lamb.
That's what they say.
No, but that's after the fact. Yeah. Meaning, they didn't have, you think they had oil? What kind of oil did they use in Poland?
Not canola.
Not canola, not olive oil. They had no olives in Poland. They had schmaltz, chicken fat. That was the oil. By the way, that makes delicious latkes. You fry latkes and chicken fat.
I can imagine
it is delicious. But it has nothing to do...
Afterwards, you're clutching your stomach.
But it has nothing to do with the story of Hanukkah.
Really?
No, it's just the way it is.
Whenever they celebrate, they ate potato pancakes.
That's what they had. Because, you know, they probably made simpler kind of potatoes during the year. And for a holiday, they made something that was fattier and fancier. So they made latkes. But I don't think it was, you know, I don't know if it was.
You know, they have that song. What's that famous song in Yiddish?
Bulbous, zontik bulbous, vontik bulbous. Every day they. It's a Yiddish song. Every day they eat potatoes.
Because
that's all they had. They had
like
potatoes.
In Ireland.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Like in Ireland, they had potatoes. Okay. Or as my wife pointed out, you know all the fruits that are the simanim on Rosh Hashanah? Those are all just fruits that are in season in the autumn. Apples. Why do we eat apples on Rosh Hashanah? Right. Because apples are a fall fruit. If Rosh Hashanah was in the spring, we'd eat something else. You know, we'd eat berries.
But in Israel, apples are not even a big thing in Israel. They're not even that good in Israel.
No, they're pretty...
They don't really have an autumn like we do in Israel.
Right. So. Okay. But in any event, you can imagine that the priests in the Philistine people had this custom where, you're not allowed to step there. Why, Daddy? Why are we allowed to step there? Well, now we know. It's because Dagon fell before the Ark of God there. Okay. So now we're on the next side. Vatichbad yad Hashem ela ashtodim vayishimem. The hand of the Lord lay heavy upon the people of Ashdod, and he wrought havoc among them. Vayachotam bat chorim et Ashdod vet gevuleha. He struck Ashdod and its territory with a plague. It says here hemorrhoids. I don't know if it means hemorrhoids. It means a plague.
That's pretty
terrible plague.
It is, yeah, that's right. You'll notice that we have here apolim is the original word, but that's kriyuchtiv. Many times in Tanakh, there's a word that's written. The tradition is that we write it a certain way, but we read it a different way. So apolim is how it's written. If you write a Tanakh scroll, a scroll of the prophets, you write apolim. But when you read it, you never read apolim. You read it chorim. So that's not how the way it's written here is not how it would appear in a scroll. In a scroll, it would only say apolim, but you read it chorim. And there are various reasons why that is. Okay, vayiru anshe Ashdod.
Understand that? I said that would take a few weeks.
A few weeks, yeah.
Vayiru anshe Ashdod kichen, And the people of Ashdod saw that that was the case. They saw, we're getting a plague, we're getting hemorrhoids because of God's ark. Vemru, and they said something very wise. Lo yeshev aron elokei Yisrael imanu. We should not leave this ark of the God of Israel among us. Ki kashtaya do aleinu val dagon Eloheinu. Because God has dealt harshly with us. And with our God, Dagon. Basically, we got to get this thing out of here. Put it somewhere else. Vaishlechu. They sent it away. V'yasfu et kol sarnei flishtim aleihem. They sent messengers, and they assembled all the lords of the Philistines. And they asked, Vayomru, ma na'ase la'aron Elokei Yisrael? What should we, by the way, note, you should notice, that at every point, they never, normally, you know, you shorten a name. So I might say, Faye Sultan came to my class. But the next time I would mention her, I would either say Mrs. Sultan or I would say Faye. I wouldn't say Faye Sultan every single, or, you know, Faye Sultan, the wife of Rabbi Paul Sultan, the member of Congregation Beth Abraham Jacob, every single time. But here, every single time, they say Aron Elokei Yisrael, the Ark of the God of Israel. They never say just the Aron. They never shorten it. Something like seven times it says it here. You'll see. It gets very redundant.
So they say the Ark
of Israel. The Ark of the God of Israel, every single time. Vayomru, mana asela Aron Elokei Yisrael. What should we do with this Ark of the God of Israel? And they responded, Vayomru, Gat Yisov Aron Elokei Yisrael. Let it go to Gat. Vayasebu et Aron Elokei Yisrael. And they brought it to Gat.
Bless you.
Okay, and they moved it to Gat. It's a place in Israel. I tried. I have a Tanakh. I need to bring it in. I forgot. But I have a Tanakh with maps in the back and at home. I don't have it here. But it would have been good to see a map here of all the different places that they brought the Aron.
Yeah.
Okay. Bless you. Vayhi acharei heisabu oto. And after it came to pass, after they moved it, vatehi yad Hashem ba'ir mehuma gdola me'od vayach et anshei ha'ir mikaton ve'ad gadol. After they moved it to Gat, the Lord of the hand of the Lord came against that city too, causing great panic. He struck the people, young and old. Vayishatru lahem tchorim. And they also broke out with hemorrhoids. It's whatever the plague was.
Isn't that funny?
No.
It's not funny. It's a plague. It's really not funny.
It's pretty bad.
I wouldn't know.
I'm surprised
they didn't have Preparation H in those days.
Yeah.
Real serious thing.
I'm surprised it wasn't one of the 10 plagues.
Yeah. And they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. So, right, so you can imagine. Now they say, we got to get out of Gat. We got to get out of here. Send it somewhere else. So now they send it to Ekron. Okay? It's another city. So what do you think is going to happen in Ekron? They're also going to get Chorin. They're also going to get hemorrhoids. Vayihi kevo aron elokim ekron, vayza'aku ekronim. So when it came to Ekron, the Ekronites cried out, Hey sabu elai et aron elokei Yisrael, lamitenu vet amen vet ami. Why have you brought the Ark of Israel, God of Israel, to us? In order to slay us and our nation? So now it's been to Ashdod, it's been to Gat, it's been to Ekron, it's been everywhere. And they got to come up with a new plan at this point. Vayishlechu vayasfu et kol sarnei plishtim. They too sent messengers and assembled all the lords of the Philistines, and they said, Vayamru, Shalchu et aron elokei Yisrael. Vayashov limkomo. Send the Ark of the God of Israel away, back to its original place. Ve'lo yamit oti ve'et ami, so it may not slay us and our nation. Ki hayta mehumat mavet, because there was a panic of death, b'chol ha'ir, in the whole city. Kavda me'od, so heavily it pervaded the land. Yad Elokim sham, that the hand of God had fallen there.
So what is this all about?
One second. Vanashim asher lo meitu, and those people that didn't. So wait. So there's a big panic of death. The people died all over Gat, Ashdod, and Ekron. And whoever didn't die, Vanashim asher lo meitu hu kubet betchorim. And whoever didn't die got hemorrhoids. Meaning there was a big plague. Either you died or you got hemorrhoids. You suffered. Fatal shavata ira shamayim. And the outcry of the city went up to the heaven. Okay?
You know, I have to tell you, I think the verb hey sabu, does that not come from like sovev?
I'm sure it does.
Going around. So I'm picturing that, like Sibibon, you know, like, since we're talking about Hanukkah, but I'm picturing this, like, this cinematic kind of scene where you have this Aron, you know, like, whirling around down the map of the Plishtim,
right.
And creating, you know, having people, you know, like on the ground, just scared out of their minds.
Right, that's exactly what it was.
Holding their tochus.
Yeah.
She wanted to know what this was all about. She missed the beginning of it.
Yeah. So last week, Ellen was here last week.
Oh,
yeah, the ark was stolen by the Philistines.
Okay.
So. Rabbi Elchanan Samet, who teaches Tanakh in Israel in many yeshivas and many places, he has essays on the book of Shmuel, upon which I've been basing some of the classes. And he notes that the second half of this chapter has many similarities to the Egyptians. First of all, something is being held by another nation and it doesn't belong there. In the case of the Egyptians, it was Bnei Yisrael, the Israelites, were being held by the Egyptians, and they didn't belong there. And they weren't treated well. And in this case, it's the Ark of God that's being held by the Philistines. And it doesn't belong to the Philistines. It belongs with the Israelites, with the Jews. So that's the first part. Then they get plagues. Okay? Death and hemorrhoids and all of these things. They get these plagues. And if you look specifically at some of the Hebrew words also, Rabbi Samet points out that there are words that are parallel between here and in Sefer Shemot when they have when the Israelites are being held by the Egyptians. I'd like to add something to what Rabbi Samet says, though, and that is that there's the meaning behind that parallel. And I think that the sort of philosophical or theological really meaning behind it is how intertwined the Jewish people are with God. Meaning that the same language and the same story is used when the Israelites are held captive and when sort of not God himself, but that which symbolizes God, so to speak, is held captive by another people. And that, in many ways, is a tremendous part of Judaism, the partnership between human beings and God. That sort of, we are God's people and God is within us as well. And I think that's part of what this is about, using these parallels with the Egyptians. It's a very short chapter. Please God, next week, we will see how the Philistines react and what they, you know, how they are... How they deal with it and how they eventually give the ark. I'll fill you in. I'll give you a spoiler. Eventually, they give the ark back to Bnei Israel. So we'll see how that all plays out, please God, next week.